I've had the pleasure of visiting a lot of different churches over the years, partly because I grew up in the church, and so whenever my family traveled, we'd worship with whatever church was there in the area where we stopped. And partly because as a minister, you know, I get to go places and meet churches, and it's really enjoyable. I visited this one church one time, and I can't remember where it was. It was a Church of Christ, but I can't remember where. It was a large church, and I remember one thing about this congregation. That is, when you walked into their lobby of their large building, big, big lobby inside leading into their sanctuary, they had a fountain. Like a working fountain with moving water right there in the middle of the lobby. So that everyone coming into worship or leaving from worship passed by that fountain as they went in and out of the lobby and as they stopped and talked and whatever. It was an attractive fountain with a nice centerpiece in the middle of it. And it was just beautiful. Now, we are people who earnestly desire to have the priorities of Jesus so that in everything we do, we honor God. And so I ask you, what is a church doing with a fountain in the middle of its lobby? Can you imagine how much that thing cost? How many good works might that church have been able to do if they had not chosen to put that money into that fountain? Priorities. The things we do with money. I'd like to share with you two versions of one story in Scripture this morning. It comes up in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and John. And there's actually a similar story in the Gospel of Luke, but that one in Luke is pretty different. Comes at a different time in Jesus' ministry. Different things happen there, although some things are very similar. But we think that's a different event. But the story in Matthew, Mark, and John all seems to be the same event, just told three different times. And Matthew and Mark's accounts of this story are almost exactly the same. So we're just going to read one. We'll read from Matthew this morning. And then we'll read from John, because as he tells this story, he has some important details that really help us understand the story even better. So first, from the book of Matthew, chapter 26 and verse 6. While Jesus was in Bethany, in the home of Simon the leper, a woman came to him with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume, which she poured on his head as he was reclining at the table. When the disciples saw this, they were indignant. "Why this waste?" they asked. "This perfume could have been sold at a high price and the money given to the poor." Aware of this, Jesus said to them, "Why are you bothering this woman? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, but you will not always have me. When she poured this perfume on my body, she did it to prepare me for burial. Truly I tell you, wherever this gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her." And today, in this room, what Jesus said would happen is fulfilled as we together share the story of what this woman did almost 2,000 years ago on the other side of the planet. We are still telling this story in memory of her here today. She did a beautiful thing to Jesus. He was reclining at the table, Matthew says. So apparently he was at a meal. There's a table there with presumably food on it. It's probably a formal meal because in their culture, at that kind of meal, you would not sit in a chair, but you would lie stretched out with one arm on propped up on a couch or a pillow, and then your head on that arm, and with the other arm you can grab food off the table. So pretty comfortable to stretch out that way, head toward the table, feet away from the table. And so there's a meal going on in the home of a man called Simon the leper in the village of Bethany, which was only about 2 miles from Jerusalem up on the Mount of Olives. You may remember Bethany from our lesson last week. Now, Simon apparently is not a leper anymore, because if he were still a leper, he would have had to stay outside the community. He could not have been around people, let alone host Jesus at a meal in his home. And so it's commonly assumed that Jesus had healed Simon's leprosy. At this meal, a certain woman comes to Jesus. She breaks open an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume, and she pours it on his head. We know she broke the jar open because Mark tells us so in his account of this story in Mark chapter 14, and because archaeologists have found broken perfume jars like this one in the ancient remains around Jerusalem, especially near tombs. So these jars were made in such a way that they were sealed to preserve the contents inside. And to open them, you had to actually break the neck of the jar. And once that neck was broken, you couldn't reseal it. So you pretty much had to use the entire contents of the jar in one shot. We think one of the common uses for a jar of expensive perfume like this was as a final gift to a loved one who had died, to anoint their body with the perfume before their burial. And Jesus says, that's what this woman is doing for him. He says, when she poured this perfume on my body, she did it to prepare me for burial. This was an exotic, extravagant gift that this woman gave to Jesus. It's very unlikely that she understood that Jesus would die within a few days. But Jesus knows, and he takes her anointing of him with this expensive perfume as an early preparation for his burial. Jesus appreciates this woman's generous act. But some of his disciples are offended by it. Why this waste, they ask. This perfume could have been sold at a high price and the money given to the poor. Why do you put a fountain in the church building? Look at how many people you could have helped with that kind of money. Priorities. The things we do with money and with things that cost money. Those disciples have a point, don't they? An expensive perfume like this could have been sold, and the money given generously to help a number of poor people buy food to eat or clothes to wear or help them pay the rent this month. And here, all that generosity is just poured out lavishly, recklessly on Jesus, who lives humbly. And so in saying this woman should have done differently with her jar of expensive perfume, the disciples are actually sort of saying, Jesus, who let her do it, is doing the wrong thing. He should have stopped her and instructed her to go help the poor instead. Does God not care deeply for the poor? But Jesus doesn't stop her. He actually rebukes his disciples and tells them, the poor you will always have with you, but you will not always have me. And in Mark's account of this story, he adds, you can help the poor anytime you like. But for this moment, this woman has chosen to pour out her generosity on Jesus. And he receives her gift graciously and defends her choice. As Matthew tells it, this is a story of priorities. This woman chooses to give her gift to honor Jesus, and he defends her decision. She anoints his head with the perfume, as if he were a king being anointed with oil on the day of his coronation. And Jesus certainly is a king, though at this time, most of the people don't realize that yet. This woman gives him a gift that anticipates his burial, though she probably doesn't think of it that way, unless somehow she knows he will die within a week, which seems unlikely. So it's good and right to help the poor. But Jesus says it's also good and right to give a gift that honors him. There's a time to help the poor, and there's also a time to pour out the perfume on Jesus' head. Or, say, to give to the church. Or to help support a missionary. Or to pay for Bibles to be translated and printed into a language that they've not been translated and printed into yet. Whatever the gift to Jesus might be, there's a place for it. And you can still help the poor whenever you like. There's a deeper level to this story too. There's a darker twist to it. One that challenges us to really check our priorities before we criticize the gift another person gives to God. John tells us about this twist. And along with that dark twist, there's also a deeper layer of beauty to this story too. So let's look at John's account of this story. John chapter 12. We begin in verse 1. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served, while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected, "Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages." He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. "Leave her alone," Jesus replied. "It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me." Same story, but with some added information that takes us a little deeper into the motives behind both the gift and the criticism of the gift. It's 6 days before Passover. Jesus will be crucified on the day of the Passover, and he knows it, but nobody else does yet. As Matthew told us, he's in Bethany, and John reminds us that that's where Lazarus lived. Lazarus, whom Jesus had recently raised from the dead, as we read about these last 2 weeks. This is our last lesson from the three stories we have in the Bible about Lazarus's sisters, Mary and Martha. And they're both here at this dinner. The dinner is actually a dinner given in Jesus' honor. And Martha is there. She's serving. No surprise there. We know from an earlier story that she seems to like to serve. And this is her gift to Jesus that day. And it's a beautiful gift. Lazarus is at the table with Jesus. And verse 9, which we did not read, says a large crowd of Jews came not only to see Jesus, but also to see Lazarus, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. I can imagine they would. I would want to go and talk with Lazarus too. I wonder how many times that day at that meal he had to answer the same question over and over again. "Lazarus, what's it like to be dead? 4 days in the tomb, tell us everything." And I wish the Bible told us what that was like for him, but the Bible is silent on that question. Mary is the star of the show here, second to Jesus, whom she honors. She is that woman. Mary is that woman who took that expensive perfume, nard, very expensive at that time, often shipped in all the way from India. It's a long way from India to Israel. And she poured it on Jesus' feet. Matthew said she poured it on his head. So apparently she poured it on his head and his feet. It was about a pint of pure nard, John says. A pint is a lot of perfume. It's way too much for just the head. So she pours it on his head and on his feet. And then she let down her hair, which a good Jewish woman would not do. She would keep her hair covered. But she let down her hair in public and used it as a towel to wipe the perfume on his feet. Maybe spreading it around, maybe rubbing it up onto his legs a little bit, I imagine. And John says, the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. As one of Jesus' apostles, he would know he was surely there. Can't you almost smell the fragrance of the perfume even here today? That overly generous gift that Mary poured out on Jesus. I wonder why they were giving a dinner in Jesus' honor there in Bethany. I've got two theories. One is that maybe it was because he had healed Simon the leper, if that's actually what happened. That's just a guess. My other theory is my favorite one, and all the more reason to give Jesus a dinner in his honor. He had raised Lazarus from the dead. Great reason to hold a dinner in Jesus' honor. Wouldn't it make this moment even more beautiful if the reason that Mary chose to pour this very expensive perfume on the head and feet of Jesus was to show her overwhelming gratitude for him raising her brother back to life? But then, Judas. Not just Judas, but as Matthew told us, other disciples too. But apparently Judas was the leader here. He objected. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. Actually, in Greek, what John writes is that Judas says it's worth 300 denarii. A denarius was a little coin, a Roman coin, that was used to pay an average worker for a day's labor. So it was about a day's pay. So 300 denarii was roughly a year's wages. So if you're working for a living, how much do you make in a year? This was very expensive perfume. And the fact that Mary owns a bottle of this perfume suggests that she and Martha and Lazarus may have come from a family that was fairly wealthy. Just a guess, but she got that jar of perfume somehow. Yet Mary humbles herself here. Breaks that jar open, pours some of the perfume on Jesus' head, pours the rest on his feet, lets down her hair, and lowers herself to wipe his feet with her hair. She does a beautiful thing for Jesus. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas didn't like it. And when he criticized her, apparently, other disciples saw the sense in what he was saying. It sounded right to them, and they joined him in his disapproval. I remember a missions committee at a church that I worshiped with many years ago. They received some extra money from the congregation one time. Beautiful gift. They couldn't agree on how to use it. The deacon over that committee wanted to use the money to support a certain mission work, but part of the group wanted to use the money to support a different missionary. And they couldn't agree. And so for weeks, they worked on this and worked on this. And their disagreement just got sharper and sharper. And finally, it became so intense that the deacon who led the committee grew so angry and so hurt that he resigned as a deacon. And if I remember right, I think he left the congregation. Christians don't always agree on how best to use the resources that God has given us. Judas sure didn't agree with Mary, and John tells us why, and it's not good. Judas was a thief. He didn't care about the poor. He just wanted more money in the disciples', treasury bag or box or whatever they had, purse, so that he could use it for himself. That's why he objected to Mary using the perfume to honor Jesus. And until Jesus rebuked him, apparently some of the other disciples joined in with him. My friends, do not be quick to criticize someone else's gift to Jesus. If someone else's gift to God makes you angry, check your motives. Is the person giving the gift actually doing something inappropriate? Or do you just not like what they're choosing to do with their money? And if you don't like it, Do you not like what they've chosen because now the money won't go to the mission work that's more important to you? One of the most common recurring nightmares for ministers and elders in churches worldwide. And it's a dream as well. It's both a beautiful dream and a terrifying nightmare. Is that one day they'll wake up and someone has given $1 million to the congregation. No strings attached. Just do with it what you think is best. And the church's leadership team is going to have to decide what to do with that money. And it's a dream because imagine what you could do with that. But it's a nightmare too because the leaders know that whatever good they use this money for to advance the gospel, bless lives, honor Jesus, someone is going to know a better way to use that money and they will be upset. And it's not just money. But think about when we gather together to worship God and we lift up our songs to bring Him honor. Don't we sometimes sing songs that are not your favorite? Oh man, that song again? Oh boy, here we go. Maybe you don't care for the style. It's too old, it's too new. Maybe it's too repetitive. Maybe the congregation doesn't sing it very well. Maybe it's yet another new song. We've been learning so many new songs. Wasn't one or two enough? Maybe it simply doesn't help you connect with God. But to someone else, it's their favorite song. It's precious to them. They lift it up to God out of a grateful heart as a beautiful gift. Do not be quick to criticize someone else's gift to God. Did you see what that church across town did? They built a gymnasium. You know how much that thing cost? What's a church doing with a gymnasium? Couldn't they find any worthy organizations in town to help with that money? 2 years ago, I visited a church that I used to worship with that, since I was there, built a new community center with a very nice gymnasium right there on their property, right beside their fellowship hall, and their sanctuary, their classrooms. Right there with the other buildings, right on the property. Did they do wrong? Why would they build a community center? Gymnasium, workout equipment, meeting rooms. Why would they do that? On the outside of their building, they have a plaque that reads, Isaac, go ahead and put it up here. I think it's the next slide. There it is. On the plaque, it says, this building stands as a reminder of God's mission. Because they open that building every day for their community to come in and use so that the church can build connections with people in their community. And through those connections, help bring people in the community to come to know Jesus. They mean for this building to be a gift to Jesus. And when Isaac and I were there to see that building, it's working. It's connecting their community to God. That other church I visited, the one with the fountain in their lobby, it's a large church, a lot of people in and out at worship time. And it turns out that the water in the fountain provided white noise. So that when you came into that large room and there were hundreds of people moving about, chatting together, talking, making noise, the sound of the water would make the room more comfortable, make it seem like it's not so loud. And so they put that in there to make it more comfortable for the church to spend time together in fellowship there. Do not be quick to criticize someone else's gift to God. Judas criticized Mary's beautiful gift. But what Judas really wanted was more money for himself. It's no coincidence that in Matthew's gospel, immediately after this story, Judas goes out and agrees to betray Jesus for money. He didn't get the money here, so he's going to get it there. Sometimes when we say, they shouldn't have spent all that money on Fill in the blank. What we really mean is that we think they ought to have spent the money on what we would prefer or what would benefit us or the people we like or are most concerned about. But if someone else offers a gift to God out of a sincere heart, let us never criticize their gift out of our own impure motives. On the contrary, let the message of Mary's gift and of any gift God's people bring to him be spread far and wide. Let the fragrance of the gift please you as much as it honors Jesus. Let its fragrance spread far and wide. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. We can still smell it today. It's beautiful. It's beautiful because of the grateful, loving heart that brought it to Jesus. The heart that poured it on his head, poured it on his feet, let down her hair to wipe his feet, even if doing so in her culture was humiliating. The heart that anointed Jesus' body for his burial without even realizing that's what she was doing. And Jesus received that gift graciously. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. As followers of Jesus, we rejoice whenever someone brings a gift from a sincere heart to God. Sing the songs you love to God. Sing the songs the other person loves too. Help them lift their gift up to God. That is your gift to God when you sing the songs the other person likes that really aren't your favorite. But you do it out of love for them because you love God. Give to mission efforts or charitable works that do good and so honor the Lord. Give to something special in the church or give in secret to someone who needs a little extra help this week. God sees that gift. We praise God for the generosity of his people. Priorities, the things we do with money. Our priority is to, in every way we can, show our Lord how much we love him because we so appreciate that he loved us first. Mary did a beautiful thing to Jesus. Let us do the same. And may the fragrance of our gifts fill the house and the world all the way up to heaven and the throne of God. And may he be honored in his church. May he bless you today. Let's pray. God our Father, give us wisdom and humility to accept the gifts that others bring to you. And to value them as you do. Help us, Lord, to have the heart of Mary, who brought such an extravagant gift to you and gave you all she could that day as she honored Jesus, your son. Help us, Lord, to avoid the error of Judas, whose impure motives were revealed that day. But, Lord, keep our motives pure. Help us to do what is right in your eyes. Help us to love one another as you love us. Help us in doing so to show how much we love you. And dear Lord, bless the gifts we bring to you, whether gifts of money or of time, of service, of compassion for another person, gifts of prayer, whatever they might be, Lord, that you've given us that we can use for your honor. Bless those gifts and let the fragrance of them from this church and from all your churches across the world, let them rise up and fill the house, fill the world, fill heaven itself, that you may be honored in every place, in every sphere of reality, in the physical realm and in the spiritual, before angels and before human beings. Lord God, we love you and we honor you. We worship you today. Bless us, dear Lord, as we walk with you. In Jesus' name, amen.